Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me. Put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together. Oh, Steve Harvey. Oh, listen. Steve Harvey. Why don't you join in?
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Here we go today. I think I have something for a lot of people today. At least I hope I do. And this is about on your journey. And this is about something that happens to us all. I mean, what happens to all of us from time to time when we get discouraged? What happens to all of us when we feel like quitting? What happens to all of us when we have that turn back moment? What happens to all of us when it don't seem like it's gonna pan out? Because I want you to understand something, that everyone, every single living soul has those thoughts about something at some point in their life. I mean, you know, look, I've oftentimes been discouraged about things not happening as fast as I'd like them, or things don't pan out the way I would like for them to have panned out. I mean, there's so many ways to get discouraged. But what my encouragement to you is, when discouragement comes, is understand this. It is a part of the growth process. It is a test. It is a test of your faith. How bad you want it? Do you really believe? That's all faith is. It's simply, and I've said this how many times, faith is the belief in things that you cannot see. So when discouragement comes, setbacks comes, it is a test of your faith. At least it's been that way for me. Now, other people can explain it another way. I'm not other people. I can only give it to you the way it's come to me and throughout my life. And man, oh, man, oh, man, discouragement sometimes is tough to deal with. Because it seems at times when you are discouraged that is so absolute that this means the end. And if you allow it to set in, it can be just that, the end of you, when merely it was a test. That's all it is. But the majority of people that I know who are not successful or who have told me the story of how they gave up, it was because at a moment of discouragement that they allowed it to set in And it became so engulfing that it became the reason why you shouldn't finish. And then they started justifying it with, hear the one that I hate to hear. Well, if it's God's will, excuse me, if it's God's will that you fail, if it's God's will that you're not successful, if it's God's will that you lay down and give up, it's God's will that you allow yourself to amount to not reach your potential, that's God's will. That's not the God I know. That's not the God I serve. That's not the God I've read about. That's not the God I believe in. I'm sorry. My mother always taught me something, that he didn't bring me this far to leave me. I just don't believe that. Not for a second. Now, have I convinced myself of some things? Yep. Have I allowed the devil to come into the picture and paint a different one for me? Yep. I've done all of that. But you can't blame that on God now. Come on. So when discouragement comes, try to look at it, if you can, as a test of your faith. And you merely have to pass the test. It could be for a day, a half a day, a few hours, a week, a few weeks. It don't matter. Don't nobody know how long the test period is. Your job is to keep the faith and keep moving. Keep the faith and keep moving. Keep working. Keep believing. Keep hope alive. That's your job. If you do that, that's how you pass the test. It could be over tomorrow. It could be over in 2 weeks. It could be over in a month. You don't know. But all you got to do is wake up and keep the faith and fight the discouraging feelings. And how do you do that, Steve? Now, here we go. This is the part I know about for sure. Because how many times I've had to fight off discouragement in order to get to where God wanted me to be. What do you do when you become discouraged? Well, here's a series of things I do. I think of the outcome. When I get discouraged about a task, I think about the outcome. Man, what would it be like if I were to complete the task? What would it be like, man? What would the outcome be for me if I hung on in there, if I didn't give up? If I don't give up, what would it be like? Man, suppose everything I'm hoping for comes true. But if I don't quit and give up, that might just be the case. I start talking to myself like that. I think of what the upside is. What's the upside to staying with it? You see, all this is the same thing. I'm just giving you different ways to look at it. I'm saying the exact same thing over and over, but I'm just trying to find the switch that connects in your mind where you can say, okay, man, I'm going to hang in there. Because if you think of the outcome and the outcome is appealing to you, if you imagine what it would be like if you don't give up or you don't quit, if you think only of what the upside is to staying with it, and then I go, where can this lead to? If I stay with it, man, and the outcome comes true, where else could that lead me to? Because, I mean, there's always more to it. So where else could this lead me to? What are the possibilities, man? What are the limitless possibilities? What could God possibly have in store for me if I just hang in there, if I pass this test of faith? If I just pass this test, now it ain't going to be the only one, but you got to get past this one, though. Then you're going to hit a smooth plane. Then it's going to be another one. It's going to be another one. Life ain't nothing but a series of tests, man. Man, when you're thinking about giving up, when you're discouraged, think of the outcome. Imagine what it would be like if you don't quit, if you don't give up. What's the upside to staying with it? Where can this all lead to? What can this get you to? If you do this and you get to where you think you want to be, oh my God, what's after that? What are the limitless and endless possibilities of holding on to your faith? what could really be out there for me, man, if I just pass this test? You got to talk yourself into hanging in there. And sometimes it ain't nobody talking to you about hanging in there but you. But that's good enough, because God has a blessing for you. God's got a blessing with your name on it. God has packages bundled up with your name on it. He got blessings just in boxes with your name on it, man. I want all of mine shipped. I'll be on Faith Street waiting there to receive. I'm just believing he's shipping stuff. But if you keep moving from the address of faith, if you keep getting off Faith Street, where you want these packages to go? They got your name on it, and it's based on your faith. But if you keep moving on Doubt Avenue and Ain't No Way Boulevard, and the package get delivered only to Faith Street, what you keep moving off Faith Street for? Come on, man. You can't give up. You can't give up.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
That's Jaws.
Get out the water!
What is that? Ladies and gentlemen, that is the beginning of the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Shirley Strawberry.
Yes. Hello. Happy Friday, Steve Lips Harvey.
Carla Farrell.
Hello, Steve.
Keir Spates, a.k.a. Junior.
Morning, Unc.
J. Anthony Bitterman Brown.
You damn right.
Thomas Wesley.
Ooh.
Miles, a.k.a. He different now. Host of one.
Ready to love.
Ready to love.
Did you hear him?
I don't know what he was about to say.
What?
I'm going to call it One Love.
Houdini?
No, it ain't One Love. Ready to love.
Ready to love. Ladies and gentlemen, Thomas Wesley Miles.
Thank you, sir. Top of the morning, Big Unc.
Somebody want to do Uncle Steve intro?
Do it,
Broderick, Stephen, Harvey, Family Feud,
Wonder
talk
Love.
Show, radio show, clothing line,
Wonder
best seller,
game show,
game. What else?
Come on, boy. Motivational speaker.
Motivational
speaker.
Soldier for the Lord.
Imperfect soldier for Christ.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
In progress. In progress Christian. Yes, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Life hacker.
Yeah.
Showtime at the Apollo.
Former hoodlum.
Yeah. Really?
You don't want that in your resume?
Former hoodlum. Saved and revered. Potential inmate.
That's too much.
And I ain't through.
Yeah. Oh.
It's Mo.
It's Mo.
Okay.
Entrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Global diversified diversification. Yeah. Botswana bound.
Botswana.
Okay.
Abu Dhabi. Here he come.
All right.
Spell then. Abu Dhabi. Spell it.
A B U D A B I. I know where the hell I'm going.
But spell was.
I get stuck.
W U Z.
Looked at everybody in the room. Y'all spell was.
It's Friday morning,
happy Friday,
baby.
Yeah. What's
Friday.
Happening? Yeah.
Never mad.
Uh-huh. What's going on?
It is Friday.
Okay. You feeling good
voted
today?
I'm glad we all got
all
that
all day long.
There.
That's right. We all voted.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I got to take care of right a lot of business today. So we come back, we'll talk about voting and some other things.
Yes, we will. And we'll be back at 32 after the hour, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time to get serious, guys, and switch gears, okay? Just a few more days until the midterm elections on Tuesday. And we got to talk about voting. Over 24 million votes have been counted as early or absentee voting, a number that exceeds the total nationwide early vote from 2014. So that's good news. Mm-hmm. And Steve, we have to keep going. Oprah was in Marietta, Georgia, campaigning for our girl, Stacey Abrams. And during her speech, Oprah took a moment to talk to women about standing united and voting our values. Take a listen.
If you're a woman, you need to recognize it hasn't even been 100 years since we even had the right to vote, since we were considered a piece of property. You couldn't even own a piece of property. I love land so much, and I think, boy, if I was born at the turn of the century, 20th century, I wouldn't even have the right to own the land without your father or your husband saying it was so. You didn't have the right to even take care of yourself. So you didn't have a voice. And now we do. We as women people need to stand united and vote our values. Vote your values. Vote your conscience. All the noise, you just can't get away from it. You turn on the TV, on the way, it's so much noise and crazy talk. All the vitriol in the ads, you know what? They are designed to confuse and confound you with fear. That's what they're done. They're designed to confound you with fear. They are not designed for people with discernment. Women, people, we have discernment.
That's so true.
Wow. Go ahead, Ms. Oprah.
That's so true. This election is so important for us. The reason I've taken it so seriously, this midterm, which is really one of the first midterms that I've taken this seriously, to be honest with you. You know, sometimes I miss the midterms in the past. I'm just being honest. The reason I've discovered this is because I want to send a message to the White House that because you're a Democrat doesn't make you a member of a mob. No, Democrats have some great values. I'm not saying that all conservative or Republican values are wrong, because some of the things they're right. But here's the problem. When your values are at the expense of us having anything, then you can't run your values down my throat. I'm okay with you being conservative or Republican, but you have to then turn around and be okay with me being a Democrat or a liberal. Yeah. You have to, because that's what makes the world float.
That's what this country was built on.
Yeah, that's right. If you consider yourself the moral party, then I'm just asking you to do the moral thing, not the thing that's best for your pocket, not the thing that's best for the economy, but the thing that's best for everybody's life. Because after we vote, we still have to live next to each other.
That's right.
And
that's
the rhetoric that's coming from the White House is so divisive. This it wasn't an ad. It wasn't a paid ad, but Trump released on Twitter this video of this Latin guy talking about, I'll kill two more police. I'll kill another cop.
Really?
Yeah,
he said the Democrats let him in the country. What? No, we didn't. I ain't even know this dude.
Well, this guy got in there.
This man is an idiot.
He got in the country under Bush.
But look, whenever he got in, he committed a heinous act against some police officers. Okay, we couldn't blame the Democrats no more than you want to allow us to blame Republicans for this man that sent the pipe bombs to CNN, President Obama, Biden, Maxine Waters, all these other people. Everybody you've been talking against, you don't want us to put that on you, but you want to put this one crazy ass man on the whole Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's not fair.
You don't want to take any responsibility for the murders in the synagogue, the Krogers. You don't want to take responsibility for Charlottesville. When you turned around and had the audacity to say that there's good people on both sides. If you're tired of that, you have to vote. If you're tired of him talking to you like you don't matter, you have to vote.
That's right. That's right.
You have to vote. Mm-hmm. I'm just tired of the rhetoric that comes from the White House that's so divisive, and now it gets to run rapid through the state to the Senate and the House because they got control of that. Mm-hmm. We got to create a balance, man. We've got to vote. Stacey Abrams, Gilliam, the boy in Mississippi. Give me the man's name in Mississippi so I can quit saying that.
Mike Espy, Steve. Mike Espy.
The guy in Texas. Mm-hmm.
Beto O'Rourke.
Right. All right, and also, Steve, coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to play some more of Oprah's speech. It was very inspirational. It was very uplifting.
Was
yeah.
Yes.
In Florida tonight, President Obama will be in Miami campaigning for Andrew Gillum. You just mentioned
there we
his
go,
name.
Baby. There
so
go.
Get out and vote. All right.
Guns.
Yeah. All right. So
I think we're going to surprise him.
I'm praying.
Steve.
That is my prayer. You're
because
absolutely
your electrical
right.
your electoral vote won't save you this time.
Yeah.
The popular vote counts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got rid of that man down in Alabama. You thought you'd never see that
mm-hmm,
day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Nephew Tommy's Run That Prank Back is coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in about 20 minutes after the next hour, Tiffany Haddish. I said Tiffany Haddish
Woo!
Will be our very special guest. We love her. And get ready. Because at the top of the hour, we're going to talk about while campaigning for Stacey Abrams in Georgia, Oprah Winfrey called out the non-voters, okay? So, Tommy, before we get to all of that, you're up with Run That Prank Back. What you got for us?
I need you to wash me.
I'm not watching you.
No. Let's just go. Play this prank.
Wash me.
Right. Yeah,
we're not
going
to be here all day with this.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's great. Wash me. Great.
Let's that was go. Team
Tommy. It's a great day at Nursery. This is Felicia.
I'm trying to get somebody to come down here to 501.
I'm sorry?
501. I need somebody to come down here to 501 and clean me up.
But, sir, I think you might have the wrong number. This is the nursery?
Is this the nurse? I need the nurse to come down here to 501 and clean me up.
Sir, this is the nursery, not the nurse. I think you might have dialed the wrong number.
No, I need to talk to where's Nurse Cynthia at? That's who's normally clean me up. I need her to come down here and clean me up.
Sir, I really do think you have the wrong number. Where are you calling from?
Who is this here?
This is Felicia. I'm the director here at the nursery.
That's what I say. I need the nurse to come down here and clean me up.
Oh.
Now, this bedpan and all this stuff to clean me up because I've been sitting here a long time. Now ain't nobody come.
Well, sir, I think you dialed the wrong number. If you tell me where you are, I can try to help you, but you...
I ain't dialed the wrong number. I need somebody to come down here and clean me up. This ain't right. But y'all supposed to be able to... Y'all supposed to get here... Every hour somebody pull come check on me. Ain't nobody come check on me yet.
Okay, well, I apologize, but you have the wrong number. Try hanging up and then dialing.
Is this the nurse station?
Sir, this is a nursery. We take care of children here. This is not the nurse station.
I'm not no child. I said, is this the nurse station?
Sir, I'm sorry, you're not listening to me? This is not the nurse station. This is a nursery. We have children here. We take care of children. So I think you dialed the wrong number.
No, they said that they're supposed to come clean up every hour. They're supposed to come check on me. I've been here might near 3 hours. Ain't nobody come to check on me yet. And now that I need somebody to come clean me up. And the bedpan is full. And they just don't come check on us like they're supposed to check on us.
I'm really sorry that they have not come to check on you in your bedpan.
Why would they let us sit here like they do?
Okay, sir, just listen to what I'm saying. This is a nursery. We take care of small children. This is not the nurse's station, so I'm sorry.
No, my grandkids, I got small children as my grandkids. I got about 42 grandkids.
42, huh?
They come see me on Sunday, but soon as they leave, the people at the nurse station, they treat me bad and leave me here like this here 2-3 hours. Don't nobody come check on me. Can you come down here and check this bed, please?
Sir, I can't do that. I need to get back to the kids here that we take care of at the
My kids don't come till they come on Sunday. They come every Sunday after church and they come see me.
Do they? Okay. Okay. Well, I'm glad your kids come see you, and I'm going to get off the phone now. When I hang up, you just dial the number right
now. When you get off, you're going to come down here and come see and clean me up?
I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to let you call back. And
why you all come clean me up? Why you all do that? Why you do it?
Sir, I'm not a nurse. I'm a teacher, not a nurse.
When I was coming through, people supposed to do their job. You do what the job is. Whatever your job is, that's what you do. I worked 42 years straight, and I did my job.
Okay. I'm a teacher. That's
why you all come on down here and do what you're supposed to do?
Because I don't clean bedpans.
You know why, girl? Y'all young folks don't do your job. The damage you're going to make me mad if you don't get your down here. You get your down here.
I'm going to ask that you not talk to me like that.
You get your down here and come clean this bedpan and clean me up. I ain't supposed to be sitting here like this all this time. What's your name again?
It's Felicia, and I have tried to be really nice to you.
Down here right now.
Please do not speak to me like that. I'm trying to let you know that you died.
You any way I want to.
You gonna calm down and quit talking to me like that. I'm trying to help you. Now, that's just rude, speaking to me like that. Now, this is a nursery.
You supposed to do what a nurse supposed to do. You get your down here right now.
You know what, I have been nice to you as I talked to him, but David, you're not going to talk to me like that. That's just rude and disrespectful. Don't speak to me like that.
You talking about kicking some,
I will kick your in the wheelchair. This seems to be the only language you understand is me talking to you crazy since you talking to me crazy.
Well, when is you going to get your down here?
Is not coming down there. You stay in that stank. How about that?
What did you say?
You heard me. I said you stay in that stank. I'm not cleaning no ass. I've been trying to tell you for the past 5 minutes, but you won't shut up long enough to listen.
Well, how long is it before you go get here then?
I am not coming down there to clean your
Why not?
I've been trying to tell you that is not my job. You dial the wrong number.
Who you think you talking to?
I'm talking to you. Who are you talking to like that?
You're going to make me whoop your
Well, bring it on in. If you think you can get in your wheelchair and make it down here to the nursery to whoop my and come the hell on.
Listen, will you take a message from me and give it to somebody?
What's your message?
Write this down. N-E.
N-E.
P.
N-E. Uh-huh. What else?
H.
Uh-huh.
E.
Uh-huh.
W.
What?
You got that part?
Yeah, I got that part.
Okay. T. O.
Mm-hmm.
M. Mm-hmm. M. Y.
What is that?
What do it spell?
I don't know. What is it?
Well, spell it out.
I'm not spelling it out. You tell me what it is.
What does it say?
I don't know. Nephew taught me.
Nephew Tommy, this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, baby. You just got pranked by your sister, Renita.
Oh, my God.
Well, you were sitting up there like, what in the world?
Yeah. You got me. You got me.
Oh, baby. I got you. I got one question for you, though. What is the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
It is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You got me good.
There it is. Really? And now you need a good little old washing, you know what I'm saying? Right. Little washing ain't going to hurt you.
What do you have coming up, Tommy?
I'm in Pine Bluff tonight, all right, along with Don D.C. Curry and D.C. Youngfly. I'm with the D.C.s.
Okay.
Get your tickets. They on sale right now. But tomorrow, though.
What?
Night.
Ready to Love on OWN, baby. That's 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And let me tell y'all something.
Is this the second week for it, Tommy?
Yeah.
Man, Uncle Steve, let me tell you something. This thing is starting to snowball and roll into something. Because guess what? The show first started on where the ladies were voting off the men. Mm-hmm. Now the tables have turned. And the men are about to start voting off the women.
Ooh, I got to watch
y'all
it.
Better tune in, baby. Tomorrow night on OWN, 10 p.m. 9 Central.
If you had to vote a woman off this show, Tommy, who would you vote off?
No, Lord, I ain't so good with you.
He's got to stay neutral, Steve. Like all right, listen, we got to get out of here. Coming up at the top of the hour, while campaigning for Stacey Abrams in Georgia, Oprah called out, or as Tommy calls her, called out the non-voters right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up in 20 minutes, guys, Tiffany Haddish will be our very special guest. She's going to tell us about her new movie, Tyler Perry's Nobody's Fool. It is in theaters right now. Make sure you go and check it out so we can make it number one this weekend. But first, Steve, Oprah Winfrey was in Georgia yesterday. She was campaigning for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. Take a listen as Oprah talked about why she votes. Take a listen.
I'm here today because, like a lot of young people, I didn't take voting seriously until around my mid-20s. And around my mid-20s, I had the privilege of hearing Reverend Otis Moss Jr., who's a preacher. Y'all know him? Preacher. Preacher in Cleveland, Ohio. And I heard him tell the story of his father, of Otis Moss Sr., who right here in Georgia's Troop County got up in the morning and put on his only suit and his best tie. And he walked 6 miles to the voting poll location he was told to go to in LaGrange. And when he got there, after walking 6 miles in his good suit and tie, they said, boy, you at the wrong place. You're at the wrong place. You need to go over to Mountville. So he walked another 6 miles to Mountville. And when he got there, they said, boy, you're at the wrong place. You need to go to the Rosemont School. And I picture him walking from dawn to dusk in his suit, his feet tired, getting to the Rosemont School, and they say, boy, you too late. The polls are closed. And he never had a chance to vote. By the time the next election came around, he had died. So when I go to the polls and I cast my ballot, I cast it for a man I never knew. I cast it for Otis Moss Sr., who walked 18 miles one day just for the chance to vote. And when I go into the polls, I cast the vote for my grandmother, Hattie Mae Lee, who died in 1963 before the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and never had a chance to vote. I vote for her. And when I stand in the polls, I do what Maya Angelou says. I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. For all those who paved the way that we might have the right to vote. And for anybody here who has an ancestor who didn't have the right to vote, and you are choosing not to vote wherever you are in this state, in this country, you are dishonoring your family. You are disrespecting and disregarding their legacy, their suffering and their dreams when you don't vote. So honor your legacy. Honor your legacy. Honor your right to citizenship in this, which is the greatest country in the world. The greatest country in the world. And the right to vote is like the crown we all get to wear. Maya used to say, baby, your crown has been paid for, so put it on your head and wear it.
Come on, Oprah.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah, I think this is really
beautiful.
If you don't understand that, you don't get that, then something's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. I think every well-meaning person, any thought-provoked person, any person who has the capacity to understand history, how can you not relate to that?
Right.
We've got to vote.
Yes.
You don't understand. Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. All those people who fought for our
right. No, you have to vote.
Yeah.
You have to vote. It's idiotic not to vote.
You have the power and you're not using it, but you say you want the power. You have it.
That brother walked 18 miles, man.
And then died before the next election.
And then
never got a chance.
And then we sitting up here talking about we not voting.
Yeah, we're mad.
Don't make a difference.
Yeah, don't make a difference.
Ain't
nothing we're
gonna
apathetic.
Change. Ain't
yeah.
gonna change nothing. My vote
yeah.
don't count.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it does
if
count. That's
vote,
what they want you
vote,
to think.
It will not make a difference.
That's right.
That's
every
right,
vote can make a difference. Let me explain something to you. In 2008, we turned out in record numbers. Guess what? Obama became president.
Yes, he did.
In 2012, we showed back up again.
Yes.
Guess what? He got reelected.
Early in the night. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah.
Early. It took him till 10:30 or something. Remember you called and you were like, I told you he was going to win it. I told you. Remember that, Steve?
Yes. I was sitting there going, this administration cannot spew this type of rhetoric and think that we're stupid.
I'm gonna just sit by.
Now you can feed this to your base, but if you think that we're scared, here's the deep part. If you think we're scared of a caravan of 1,000 people walking through Mexico to get here, are you kidding me? My man, do you know what we've been through?
Yeah.
Do you know the conditions we've had to live in?
You don't know this journey.
And you're telling me a caravan with a bunch of women and babies, you think that scares us? No, man, that doesn't scare us. You're scaring your base with that. You can't fool us. They're not coming to take our jobs. You can stop all of that rhetoric. You can stop this thing talking about you're going to repeal the Birthright Act. The 14th Amendment says that if you are born from an immigrant into this family and you are born here, you are a U.S. citizen. If you repeal the Birthright Act, Donald Trump is supposed to get his repeal too. Didn't your parents come over here?
They did.
Mm. All right.
Get out and vote.
Yeah.
Get out and
get
vote.
Get out and vote.
Get out and vote.
And we'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show and our special guest, Tiffany Haddish, right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, joining us this morning, y'all, as promised, we got a special guest. She's family, though. Comedian, Emmy Award-winning actress. That's crazy, man. Has come to the movie scene in a major way.
Yes.
We loved her in the number one movie, Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm.
We saw her in Night School, and we cannot wait to see her in Tyler Perry's brand new movie, Nobody's Fool, that opens nationwide today. It's in theaters right now. Let's find out about the movie. Y'all, she in the building. Put your hands together for... This what messed me up.
What?
Come on.
Fine-ass Tiffany
Haddish. Yes, Lord.
Hey, Steve Daddy.
Tiffany.
Won't he do it?
Tiffany, I did not really know.
It's a bump back there.
Tiffany's cute as pie.
Tiffany,
what do you mean? I've been had a booty. I had a booty back in 2001. I was born with a booty. You should have seen my diapers. My diapers were thick.
Dr. Luke.
Told you what
I'm sorry,
you
Tiffany.
Say.
Tiffany, let me say this. I just got a Will Packer show called Ready to Love on the OWN Network. God is blessing me. Thank
this
you, baby.
This ain't about you, man.
I know.
Well,
I know,
I'm happy for you.
Aww, thank
well,
you,
well, that's so good, Tiffany, but he's plugging
love.
His damn show on your time.
Well, you know what? Anytime I can help a man plug his show and get his child support paid, I am here for that. Hey, you got hey. Kids to take care of out here. Don't you got kids, Tommy?
I do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got another job. You need as many jobs as possible so them kids can have.
That's right.
Hey, Tiffany, let's talk about this movie because Tyler wrote, produced, and directed Nobody's Fool. And in the movie, you play the role of Tanya, and you were just released from prison and were reunited with your sister, Tika Sumter.
Yeah.
She plays your sister in you, and Tika don't have... You and Tika don't have nothing in common. Tell us about the movie.
Me and Tika do have something in common. We got the same mama, okay? And her character's name, she called herself Danica, but her name is Danica. Okay, that's what mama named her. And our mama is played by Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes.
And my mama won't let me come home when I get out of jail. She want me to go live with my sister. So I go live with my sister, and I see she done came up in the world. She got her a nice house, you know, nice car, nice everything. I'm like, okay, girl, you doing it. All right. You know? And so I'm trying to live that fancy life with her, I get me a job at a coffee shop, and it's a fine man that works at the coffee shop, and his name is Omari. You know Omari.
Tiffany, hang on right there. We're going to come back, okay, and let you finish this story, all right? This is good. Tiffany Haddish, our special guest, will be right back right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, y'all, we back. Our special guest is the one and only Tiffany Haddish.
Ooh, she ready.
And we're talking about the brand new movie that's out today, Nobody's Fool, written and produced by Tyler Perry. She plays the role of Tanya, and she was just released from prison. She's reunited with her sister, played by Tika Sumpter. And they ain't got nothing in common. Tika didn't come
up. Yes, we do. We got the same mama. We got the same mama.
He's sticking with that.
And we both like menses. Now, I get a job at the coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
And Omari Hicks was there. Now, I don't know, Omari Hardwick. Now, I don't know if you know who Omari is in real life.
Yes, ma'am.
But on that TV show Power, he played Ghost. Looking good as hell.
Yeah.
And so he looking real good in this movie, too. So I'm trying to hook up with him, but he trying to hook up with my sister, Danica, right, which is played by Tika. And then Tika's like, I don't want him. And I'm like, girl, if you don't want him, I do. And because she thinks she dating this dude on the internet, but she ain't never seen him before. She get catfished, right? And then a whole bunch of other stuff happens.
And
she get catfished. And me being the loving sister that I am, I'm not finna have it. And then a lot of hilarity ensues. Yeah.
Ooh.
All right.
I can't wait to see the movie. I can't. So far, you've had all home runs, Tiffany, so I don't see why this one won't be.
That's not true.
That's not true.
I've had a few other movies come out. Yeah, that's not true. All the movies I've been in have been home runs.
Well, all the ones I've seen.
you got to have a lot of shows to get them canceled. I've survived more damn cancellations. People talking about, man, you got another show got canceled. That's because I got a bunch.
Wow.
Right.
Hey, Steve, you know Tyler bought Tiffany a Tesla, don't you?
Yeah, I got the Falcon Doors. The car is a performer as well. They do a holiday show and everything. Yep.
That was really sweet and generous.
He got me the Model X. You know, that's because the movie tested really high, and he kept telling me that I need to go buy it. But see, I used to be homeless and live in my car, so I personally, I'm the type of person that, like, I want to make sure everything is paid off before I go buy something new, before I make a big purchase. And he kept saying, just go buy it. And I was like, nope, I got to save my money. And then he went and bought it for me after the movie had tested really high. I guess he felt like he's going to make a lot more money, and he should give me some kind of a bonus. So he got me the Tesla, and I'm very grateful. If I ever become homeless again, that's gonna be a nice one bedroom.
So crazy.
Y'all come in.
See, Uncle Steve, nice, you ain't never done that, man. We done went number one on radio. You ain't never bought us nothing.
Well, that's radio, Tommy. That's radio. Hello. That's different than movies.
Way different. Yep. Can't nobody see you. You ain't in front of nobody. Sitting up there with your drawers on talking. Now you want a damn car. Get your ass out of here.
Tyler Perry's new movie, Nobody's Fool, starring the one and only, the lovable, we love you so much, Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We love
in
you, girl.
Theaters everywhere right now. Make sure you go see it.
And listen to me, y'all. When you buy your ticket, make sure your ticket has Nobody's Fool on it. Do not accept anything else. It has to say Nobody's Fool. If they give you another ticket, give it back. Tell them you want a ticket that has Nobody's Fool on it. Make sure they get the credit. Or buy your ticket online or buy it online and go down there and see the movie. Tiffany Haddish, the movie opens today. Girl, you keep doing it. You're doing wonderful.
Yeah, and everybody, I gotta support and see the movie so that I can take care of my granny. I wanna buy her some new legs.
Huh?
I wanna buy my grandma some legs.
Okay, Tiffany, you can't end this like this.
No, yeah, you can.
Well, let me get two tickets.
I need to buy my grandma some legs. Prosthetics is high.
You're not going to walk away like this.
Tiffany, we love you. We will definitely support this movie, and we always support you. All right? Come back anytime.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the one and only Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. The subject, she says she's not going anywhere. But right now, it is the nephew here with today's prank phone call. Neff, what you got?
Yo, check bounce.
Ooh.
That's how you supposed to be when somebody bounced there. Your check bounced.
Wow. Yeah. About a check bounce.
Yeah.
At the church.
Don't do that.
How many of y'all back in the day used to try to float that church, that check at church? You right?
It was a game show called Beat That Check.
I ain't never really not at the church in my life.
What? Like the Lord isn't going to know you didn't have the funds in there. Uh-huh.
I have passed the plate and didn't put nothing in it, but I would not write a bad check.
I can't write no hot check.
I had the tray come by me, and I took candy money out.
Right there. Run this prank right here. Your check bounced.
Don't tell nobody else.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Monica, Sister Monica, please.
Who's calling?
This is Brother Deshaun. I'm calling. Actually, I'm a member of Greater Missionary Baptist Church.
How can I help you?
Calling you actually about the offering. Now, did you I know you paid your tithes.
Yeah, I pay my tithes every Sunday.
Okay, now you paid a love offering as well, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now this past Sunday, I'm looking at a check that you left us with bank.
Right, I sure did. I wrote a check Sunday.
Okay, now the check, ma'am, was $250. Am I correct?
Right. I wrote two checks for my tithes and the love offering. Right. I wrote one for $250 for the love offering.
Okay, now.
What is this call regarding? Why are you calling me?
Well, what I wanted to tell you is that I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but your check that you wrote for $250 actually has bounced.
Wait a minute. You said my check bounced for $250?
Your check bounced. So what I'm doing is calling you about recouping the $250 as well as, you know, you cost us $30 in bank fees.
Wait a minute now. I wrote two checks. I wrote a check for $100. Did that one bounce?
I don't see to it that one bounced. All I know is the one that the love offering has bounced.
Well, did you put them in at the same time? Because I wrote them at the same time.
They all go in on Monday, ma'am. Now, I didn't put them in at the same time. I've been putting them in for the last 2-3 years. The problem is, why would people write these?
What is your name?
I'm Brother Deshaun.
And you was there this Sunday?
I was there. I don't think it matters when I was there, ma'am. The problem is that I didn't put these checks in, and I don't understand why y'all write these checks to the church.
Wait a minute. Knowing that they're going to bump. Write these checks?
There's a lot of people
my
write
checks are good.
Well, not,
I don't write bad checks.
Well, why
if
do we?
One clear, why the other one didn't clear?
Maybe you didn't have enough money for both of them to clear.
What did you just say?
Maybe you didn't have enough money in the bank for both of them to clear. And I don't understand why people
I
write these.
I got plenty money in the bank. And all my checks clear. I don't write no rubber checks.
Well, you wrote one on Sunday. And that's the problem. How you going to try to give a look?
Wait a minute. I think you got me confused with somebody else. I don't write no bad checks.
You done wrote this.
I'm trying to be nice to you.
I'm trying to be nice to you. When can we expect the $250 plus the $30?
So you, wait, $30?
That's the bank fees, ma'am, for the doggone check bouncing.
My check didn't bounce. I'm going to check my bank. And if my check clear, you're going to pay me $30 for calling me, harassing me about a $250 check bounce. I don't write no
why would you write check? What, you want to sit up in the church and write these big number checks when you know you ain't got it in the bank?
What the did you say?
I said, why would you write these checks when the money ain't in there?
Let me tell you one thing. I don't write no bad checks, and you got a lot of nerves calling me, telling me my check bounced.
Your check is the one that has bounced. And
I'll tell you what you do. Since my check bounced, you pay the since you got all the money. And don't call me with this again. Hello?
Don't you hang up on me no more. When are we going to get this $250 and this $30?
Who is that she's
calling you? Somebody from the church talking about I wrote a bad check. I don't write no
you did write a bad check.
I didn't write no bad check.
Yes, you did.
Wait a minute. Why are you calling me? Why the treasure don't call me at church?
The treasure is
the deacon,
busy.
I ain't never know the deacon call nobody about no bad check. Your is full of and, thank you. You got the money.
Who in the hell is that in the background? Who is that?
Never mind who it is. We both go to the same church, and you going to call me to my I wrote a bad check. you, don't you call me no more. And if the check bad, you pay it, okay?
Do Pastor know you talking like this?
Do Pastor know you calling me? Can you answer that?
Look, when are we going to get this $280 is what we looking for from you?
I wrote a check for $250.
And
you will not get $280. You put the $30 with it.
You put $250 in there, it bounced. $30 cost us on bank fees. That's $280. When can the church expect their money?
Never. Not no $280. You will never get $280.
You're going to make me come by your...
And my check then... What did you say? I'm going to do what?
You're going to make me come by your house and get this money.
Bring your on. Bring it. Bring your on.
What is the address on
Look
this
on
check?
The check?
I got it off the check.
Well, you... Bring your on. I bet you you'll be limping back.
I'm watching you. You better not be spending no money nowhere. You better not spend nothing till I get this $250 plus $30.
I'm gonna spend whatever I want to, okay?
No, you don't. You
yes,
know what?
I am, and you don't call me no more with this because my check did not bounce. I don't see how one check went through and the other bounced.
Let me say this to you. We cannot accept you back into the house of the Lord no more until...
What did you say?
You are not... Don't you come in there Sunday until
I'm
we get...
I'm coming up in there Sunday and... I'm going to make sure I find your because you the person I want to see.
You going to...
And you know what? I'm going to call the pastor right now and ask him because I don't believe my check bounced. You full of
well, let me say this before you call pastor.
No, I'm going to call pastor. No, you should have talked with pastor before you call me with this information.
I got one more thing I need
what
to say to you.
You ain't got nothing to say to me. You done upset me with this talking about I bounced a check. You should have went to pastor before you called me with this.
I told Pastor when I get, but I got one more thing to say before I leave. Is you listening?
What do you got to say to me? What do you have to say now that you gonna pay the check?
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. You just got pranked by your girlfriend.
Wait, what did you say?
Baby, this is.
What did you say?
I say this is Nephew Tommy, baby, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your girlfriend has pranked you.
I'm gonna beat that. She just left here flying out the door in a hurry. No, she didn't. I'm gonna that.
Let me ask you one more thing, though, baby. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
This goes out to all the people out there. Really? Checks at the church. You can't do it.
Yeah, man.
Do you know the church check actually go through on Sunday?
Yes, sir. Next day.
Oh, they don't play. They do not.
Oh, they not playing no more.
Hey, Tommy, you bounce a check at church, they actually stop your praise.
Hey, I have gotten a bad check from the church when I made some choir robes, and we still ain't talking to this day. So that's all.
Well, we know them robes didn't have no pockets on.
We do know that.
We know robes don't have pockets.
Well, they should.
Ready to Love tomorrow night on OWN, baby. Do not miss it. It's getting good. It's getting, in the words of my granddaddy, it's getting gooder. Okay?
Not better.
It's getting gooder. Ready to Love tomorrow night on OWN, 10 p.m., 9 Central. You do not want to miss it. The tables have turned. What? The men now have the power.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So what does that mean? The men have the power.
The men have the power, so that what that means is that they're getting ready to eliminate some of the ladies.
Thank you, Sherry.
Oh.
Okay? You got three men, and now they're about to narrow the ladies
I'm gonna
down.
I'm going to watch it. I can't wait.
So you'd be surprised how the ladies start, you know, pretty much lobbying for themselves, trying to stay on.
Yeah,
listen,
of course.
So, I need to be here for you.
Take me off.
Heard that too.
Take me off. I wish you would.
I heard all of that.
All right, up next, today's Strawberry Letter. She says she's not going anywhere is the subject. Strawberry Letter coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
It's time for today's Strawberry Letter, guys. If you need some advice in relationships, dating, work, sex, parenting, and more, please submit your Strawberry Letter to SteveHarveyFM.com and click Submit Strawberry Letter. Please tell him, Steve.
Click and submit the Strawberry Letter.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. We got it for you. Here it is, the Strawberry Letter.
That's right, and we could be reading your letter live on the air just like this one. Subject, she said she's not going anywhere. Dear Steve and Shirley, I've been in a relationship for a little over 3 years. This man treated me like a queen, and I just knew that he was the one. Right when I was getting ready to get married again, my man Skeletons came out of the closet. He admitted that there is this woman that has been in his life for many years, but there's nothing to worry about because he's not sleeping with her. I believed him because he spends quality time with me every day. I did a little research and found out who the woman is, and I asked her to meet with me so we could meet and talk. The woman confirmed what my man told me. She said there's nothing to worry about. She does not want my man. But after my visit with her, she has started to make my man's life a living hell. When she would call him, he would put her on speakerphone so I could hear her ranting and raving and telling him that she should stop calling and leave him alone. That's what he would be telling her. She has told him each time that she is not going anywhere and will always be a part of our lives. This woman started stalking him, sending him nude pictures of herself and telling him that she will pop up at the house whenever she wants to. Now he's saying that we need to take a short break so he can calm her down and make her go away. I love him, and I'm trying to be patient, but now I may see him once a week. I don't know if he's just pushing me away slowly so he can be with her, or if he plans to come back to me when the coast is clear. What do you think? Should I hold on a little longer or move on? Please advise. Move on! Okay, you gotta move on. What do you mean? When the coast is clear, take a short break so he can calm her down and make her go away. What do those things mean? You love him and you're trying to be patient, but now you only see him once a week. Yeah, he's pushing you away because she's not going anywhere. She said that. She allowed him, it looks like, to be with you for a little bit of time until she started clowning. She already knew this. She's done this before. Whoever she is, and who is she anyway, and what is she to him? You met with her, but you didn't even find that out. Is she the mother of his child, his baby mama? Is she an ex? Is she his current girlfriend? What is she? You never found that out. You never mentioned that in the letter. So, this has trouble written for you, written all over it. She sounds crazy. She's stalking him, doing all that. And he can't control this woman. He can't control her. So if you marry him, it's going to be a bigger mess than it already is. So, yes, please move on and do it now. Steve?
Well. Uh-oh. Well, we got a situation here. Dealing with a nut case. Now, I'm going to show you some strangeness that I discovered in this letter. It ain't always start good. Been in a relationship, treats you like a queen. I knew he was the one. Right when I was ready to get married again. Skeletons in your closet. Itching to come outside. Having a daytime nightmare has always been my biggest fear. Skeletons in your closet. Everybody got some. He had a bunch. He admitted that there was this woman that has been in his life for many years, but there's nothing to worry about because he ain't sleeping with her. Well, what's she been doing in his life? See, you can't just be in my life and just be in it. What are you in it for? I believed him because he spends quality time with me every day. So I did a little research. Come on, this is what women do. Yeah. And she found out some things. She found out who the woman is. I asked her to meet with me so we could meet and talk. The woman confirmed what my man told me. She said there's nothing to worry about. She does not want my man. Now, listen to me. What happened was she told him that she was going to meet with you. He said, listen, we're going to play this off now. So make sure you say this, 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 and this. And that's exactly what she did. But then after your visit with her, she started to make my man's life a living hell. The only way she can do that is she got something on him. Mm-hmm. When she would call him, he would put on speakerphone so I could hear her ranting and raving and telling him and telling her that she would not, telling him, tell, that don't make no sense. Hear her ranting and raving. Oh, and him telling her that she should stop calling and leave him alone. She has told him each time she ain't going nowhere and will always be a part of our lives. This lady is a nutcase. Nutcase. She started stalking him, sending him nude pictures of herself, telling him that she gonna pop up at the house whenever she wants to. Well, now listen to this. You a sister, I'm assuming, that wrote this letter.
Why do you assume that?
I'm assuming this is a sister. Because, you know. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. She says she gonna pop up at the house anytime she wants.
White women don't do that?
Well, they don't tell you they coming.
Huh?
White women don't tell you they coming. They show up with the police. Oh.
Just to be
give
clear.
Me my husband back.
That's her. Arrest her.
Dave is shaking his head, yes.
It was a terrorist threat. But now you a sister. She says she going to pop up. She'll pop up at the house whenever she wants to. She can't pop up but one damn time. Because you're going to have to make her a promise. Pop up over here if you want to. It'll be your last damn pop up. See, you got to counter some of these threats.
Hold it right
there,
Steve.
I'll be back with the rest of how to handle.
We'll be back at 23 after the hour with part two of Steve's response. Strawberry letter for today's subject. She said she's not going anywhere right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, let's recap today's strawberry letter and part two of your response. Subject, she said she's not going anywhere.
Well, she said she ain't going anywhere because she then had a relationship with her dude that they supposed to get married, and things, little skeleton came out, found out he been dealing with this woman for years. She did some research, asked the woman to meet with him. They met. She talked. She confirmed what a man said, that they not having an affair together. But after that, she started harassing and stalking your man, sending him naked pictures and everything, and told him that she gonna always be a part of y'all's life, and she'll pop up at your house whenever she feel like. You got one damn time to pop up over here. It'll be your last pop up.
Yes.
Pop your ass up if you want to.
Oh, yeah, she's a sister.
See, you got to talk to nutcases. You got to give them their information back.
Yeah.
For instance.
Send another naked picture over here with your fat ass.
Wait.
Yeah, you got to insult her. She sent the naked picture. Much, that'll let her know that her man showed you the picture, showed her the picture. So you got to be insulted. See, when people come at you like that, you got to just slap them back down.
Okay, do another one. Say ugly. What if she just do it? Let's see how that sounds.
Yeah, but Shirley, don't encourage that. That's not.
Boy, as much ignorant mess you say, don't encourage that. Have you listened to your prank tape?
Steve, he's the host of Ready to Love now. He's changing right before our very eyes.
We'll do that on Saturday. We're doing this during the day.
You told him to change.
Okay.
He's trying to calm you down, Steve.
Yes.
She has told me time that she not going anywhere. You ain't got to go nowhere, but you're going to get the hell out away from here.
With your...
Your ugly ass.
ugly
heifer. Damn near threw up when we were sitting up there talking. Woman started stalking him, sending naked pictures with her wide ass, telling him she gonna pop up at the house. You gonna roll up, but you ain't gonna roll off.
Really?
Now he says we need to take a short break so he can calm her down and make her go away. She's so crazy. Mm-hmm. He needs some time off. He got to go sit with her, get her back down. this woman on some type of medication.
You think?
Yeah.
Something wrong.
Because let me take some time. Let me get back over here and talk to her. Get her right back where I had her when y'all met. But she got off her meds, and then here she comes. I need to go down and calm her down. She says, I love him, and I'm trying to be patient. But now I may see him once a week. I don't know if he's just pushing me away slowly so he can be with her, or if he plans to come back to me when the coast is clear. When you're in a relationship and you can't go back till the coast is clear.
Right.
There has been some shooting that we all know about. Let me ask you something. Around your house, at any point, has there been any crime tape?
That yellow tape.
The coast has got to be clear.
So for the coast had to be clear. Is there a chalk outline of a body in your driveway? You gotta wait till the coast is clear. What do you think? Should I hold on a little longer or move on? Please advise. Well, you could sit there and he comes by once a week because he asked you to let him do that and you let him do it. But what I don't understand is what's taking so long for him to calm a person down that he not having sex with? See, if I'm not having sex with you, matter of fact, you ain't got to calm down.
But Steve.
You don't. If I'm not having sex with you, you ain't got nothing on me. You ain't got to calm down.
What about the make her go away part? That was kind of scary.
What you mean? What part?
He says, you know, just like you said, now he's saying that we need to take a short break so he can calm her down, like you just said, and make her go away.
Now, it's a couple of things you need to check on. Because this make her go away could be dangerous.
Yeah, that's scary.
Have you looked in the garage? Do you see a rowboat?
What's a rowboat for?
Just stay with me.
Come on, Shaq. You know what a rowboat for.
Come on, check.
She bought a lot of garbage bags.
Garbage bags, check.
Not garbage bags.
Yeah.
Do you see the stuff called waterproof duct tape?
Waterproof duct tape.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
Over there by the boat, leaning up against the wall, do you see any boulders or large cylinder bricks?
Yes. Check.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Is any burlap in the garage?
There goes some right there. Burlap. Mm-hmm. Check.
Uh-oh. Is there a new saw laying around?
Saw. Right there. You see that?
Yeah.
Check his computer.
Check.
The search engine.
The search engine. Just type in killing somebody with a boat, rocks, and saw.
Right there.
You see it?
Instruction. How to. It's.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Check.
He might be getting rid of her that way.
It says, make her go away.
Yeah. So look out in that garage. Rowboat, duct tape, chainsaw, saw,
garbage bags.
Hefty bags, burlap, rocks.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. You can watch some forensic files, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And 48 hours, all of that, right? All right, look, we got to get out of here, Steve. Please email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's Strawberry Letter at Steve Harvey FM. Coming up in about 10 minutes, the Chapmans are back this week. The Chapmans.
No.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, everyone. Once again, it is time for Bad Acting Theater. And the only thing scarier than bad acting theater is seeing a big old man in a spider costume that's a little bit too tight. It's a little tight.
I seen something scarier than that.
What?
My uncle taking off his fake leg, breaking it down, and putting it in his pocket.
Ooh, you're right. You might be right. That is pretty scary sounding. Now let's look into this week's episode where Earl has dropped dead.
Now, there's one time you can use the phrase, he's in a better place.
All right. Steve. All right, Steve. Well, let's look into this week's episode where everyone is in a panic. Ooh.
Everybody's in, oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We're all in a panic.
I'm in a panic.
Y'all can't believe this here, man. How am I going to do this? This must be our last week with this raggedy ass play.
Stand him.
Sure hope this old world girl out of here. We might well cancel the chat.
All right. Good. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Listen up, everybody.
Yeah.
Earl's body just got to the funeral home. I can't believe he's dead. I'm in a panic. What are we going to do?
I'm in a panic, too. I can't believe a perfectly healthy man dropped dead just like that.
I'm in a bigger panic than everybody. My daddy just dropped dead. I can't believe it. I mean, how can something like this happen? He didn't stay around long enough to see the Nephew Tommy Show, Ready to Love, on the OWN Network, produced by Will Packer, owned by Oprah Winfrey, who Tommy, me, affectionately calls
Tommy.
Oh. He's never going to see it. He never going to see it. How does something like that happen?
I tell you how the hell it happened. Huh? That old-ass, evil-ass writer that I call my friend that wrote me out of my own damn soap opera, that's how it happened.
Okay, Steve, stop interrupting so we can see what happened.
Oh, my God. This is unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness. This is unbelievable. Y'all crying? The baby crying?
I say hello, KK. This is Earl. KK. This is Earl. Now, I'm dead, as you know. I'm calling to see if you can talk to the writer about writing me back into this week's episode.
Who the hell is this? Don't call my cell phone again. Somebody trying to...
People think everything is a joke. Hello?
Hey, Junior, it's Earl. As you know, I'm dead. I just got on the phone KK. I guess the sound of my voice threw her into something. Hey, see if you can get that writer. Black ass, write me back into this week's episode.
I don't know who this is. But we're going through a serious situation over here, and whoever this is, you need to stop playing on my damn phone.
Who was that?
I don't know. Somebody sound like they was Earl.
Ramon, can you get that for me?
Hey, Ramon, this Earl. Ain't no sense in talking to you, cause you on the show and nobody even hear you talk. Anyway. Could you put Chester on the phone?
Who is it, Ramon? Give me the phone. Hello?
Chester.
This your daddy. Look, I know we've had our differences in the past and all, like you trying to kill me and all. I ain't got to bring all that up. Can you just get the writer to please write me back into Chapman's, and we're going to let bygone be bygone?
Who the hell is this? Could you look? Can you please stop playing on my damn phone? My daddy is dead.
Who was that?
There's somebody that? Saying that they was Earl.
I can't believe it. They called me.
They called me too.
I can't believe it. Everybody's going crazy. It's time for me to take over. I want everybody out of my house. Junior, KK, that crying ass baby. I want all of you out of my house right now while I deal with the death of my daddy.
First of all, this ain't your house. This my mama KK house, and I just graduated from Spelman College, and you don't run a damn thing over here.
That's the baby.
If anybody leaving, it will be you and that know-it-all junior. In the words of Martin, get to stepping.
This is crazy.
That's the baby.
This is crazy. A grown-ass talking baby. That's already been to college. Earl is calling everybody. Phone's ringing. It's thunder and lightning. This is crazy. Let's just get out of here, man. The only that will be scary than talking baby if we don't get out and vote Tuesday. I'm getting out of here.
hello?
Yes, it is. Hello, who is this? You better not be calling over here with no trouble, because I ain't up for it today. Today, I'm giving out butt whoopings and bubblegum, and I am fresh out of bubblegum. How can I help you?
Well, hey, baby, look here. This I'll be damned.
It's my baby.
This crazy damn thing, I never been involved in before. No, I don't be in this no damn more. This is Earl Chapman. I ain't had the pleasure of meeting you. Probably because I'm dead. Let me ask you something, little baby. You think you can have that writer write me back into the Chapmans? My poke wine biz is dependent on it.
This has been a special Halloween week edition of Bad Acting Theater. And by the way, Earl Chapman is still dead. Join us next week for the Chapmans. And we'll be back right after this.
Do I inherit the pork rind bin?
I don't know.
I should inherit
my this. Baby the bomb, though.
That baby is an
educated
baby.
Baby. Infant.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Time for pimping, ladies and gentlemen, and it's Friday. You know it's week 9 of the NFL.
Yeah, it is.
Take it away, fellas.
All right, it's that time. I'm sorry, let me let him get in here first.
Yeah, slow your roll.
I'm doing it.
Did he just say,
Freddie's dead.
Curtis Mayfield.
That's what I said. Look here, look here. It's the man with the plan with the Freddy's. Hey.
He's in, Tommy.
Freddy's day.
Yeah. Good morning, Pimpin.
Hey, what's up, man? I was just, you know, having a little Curtis Mayfield moment, you know?
Yeah, you took a minute to get in here, though, Pimpin. You did.
Yeah. You know, I was on Stop and Sing sometime, but I'm all right. I'm in here now, though. Hey, what's up, Shirley?
Hey, Pimpin. Two days in a row.
You know what I'm saying?
What's going on?
It's all good. What's up, Junior?
What's happening, Pimpin? My hero.
My man.
Pimpin, what you got on today, man?
It's so hard to describe this right here.
Mm-hmm.
I bought this down at the market.
Okay.
Man, I went to the market and bought this. I bought this right off a farmer.
Well, what is it?
Off a farmer.
Damn.
Oh, you went to the farmer's market.
Yeah, I went to the farmer's market. I bought this off this dude, man. His wife made it.
Oh,
I ain't never seen it. I said, I got to have that.
Edible stuff down there.
Yeah, it's
what
edible.
Is it?
We ate it.
What is
it? Oh, we ate it. Now I'm wearing it.
What is it?
What
this
is it,
coat
Pimpin?
Right here, don't touch it. It's soft, ain't it?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
What?
Chicken feathers.
All right.
You love
white
chicken feathers.
Man. You better recognize this here.
Man, I didn't know you feel like that.
Oh,
look
okay.
at that.
All right.
See how it moves?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it.
It's nice, actually.
I'm going to tell you something, man. I've had this for a while. I was down there. I took my niece to see Sesame Street on Ice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I wore this coat. Big Bird seen it.
Uh-huh.
I lost his damn mind. He didn't even want to skate that night.
Is that why he retired recently?
He said, I ain't got scared. I said, it's white. What you tripping for? It ain't yellow. These ain't your people. You Big Bird. This is chicken. This ain't no bird. This is chicken.
But when pigeons see you in New York, what happens, Pimpin?
I don't care about no pigeons, man. They too nasty. Ain't nobody want no damn pigeon coat.
Yeah, nobody
want that. Well, Pimpin is week 9.
Huh?
Week 9, Pimpin.
Week 9, let's go.
How you feel,
All
man?
Right, let's go, Pimpin.
Hey, man, I've been doing real good. Pimpin been doing it.
Here we go, Pimpin. Check it out. The Falcons. Hey, the Atlanta Falcons.
You know, Tom, we could go along a little bit faster. You ain't comment on my comment.
But you know what? You know what it is, Pimpin?
No, I
be
see,
thinking
not,
you
want
to say
something
else.
Don't try to turn yourself into a pimp. It's just one pimp. This ain't your segment. Now, you want Junior to do the scores? Because me and you, we be having little problems lately. I don't know what it is.
Well, hold on, Pimp. What you ain't going to do is try to threaten me with somebody else taking over the seat.
I ain't trying to threaten you, man. But, you know, if you want like a chicken jacket or something, let me know. Damn. you all in my segment, man.
Okay, no, what you need to know is that I don't have a problem getting into a fight with a pimp. I will do that.
But why is you trying to sound like a pimp all of a sudden? This ain't your segment.
I don't have a problem getting into a fight with a pimp.
Yeah.
All right, Pippen, here we go, man. I'm going to jump this thing off. We got the Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are on their way to play the Redskins, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, man, that's going to be hard, man, because the Redskins trying to get at them. Adrian Peterson balling, man. But then Atlanta trying to come, too, man. I would make this my push game, but I ain't. Redskins.
You going with the Redskins?
Yeah, man, because okay. I just don't see, Matty Ice, they up there balling.
All right, we're going to keep it moving, Pimpin. The Detroit Lions are on their way to play the Minnesota Vikings.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I just got to go with Detroit. I just love Detroit.
All right, Pimpin, Detroit it is. Here we go. The Steelers, Pittsburgh Steelers are getting ready to play the Baltimore Ravens.
God, dog, that's a rivalry game, man. They be in there trying to kill each other.
Hey, Pippen, is this your push game?
I don't know. Nah. Yeah, this is my push game. How'd you know? Yeah, this is my push game. How'd you know?
I didn't know, Pippen.
Let's go. Push.
Okay, push it is. Here we go. Now, Pimpin, this one's gonna hit dear to your heart. Mm-hmm. The Kansas City Chiefs are on their way to play the Cleveland Browns.
Not the Chiefs. Yeah, you hurt me with that one. I know good and hell well we can't beat the damn Chiefs. We done fired the coach.
Mm-hmm. We did
we
that.
We fired the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. He gone, too.
Here come that young boy, Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1-1 is 2. Divide that by 3. Get a calculator right there. The Browns going to get their ass whooped. Well, we're going to go on and do this break thing, man. I'm pulling for Cleveland, but I know they can't beat Kansas City.
Okay. We're going to keep it moving, Pippen.
We're
going to see what happened with that. Yeah. But here's the next thing, man. The Jets, the New York Jets are getting ready to go down.
Hold on,
nephew. We're going to take a break right here.
Damn.
We're going to take a break and come back with more of week 9 of the
damn
NFL.
Damn you, Pippen.
With Pippen and the nephew right after this.
He ain't going to damn me.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we're back. This is week 9 NFL part 2 with Pimpin' and the nephew.
Let's get back at it. What was the last one?
The New York Jets are getting ready to play the Miami Dolphins.
Man, I'm going to go with the Jets, man. That boy Donaldson, he ain't playing that bad. I'm going to go with the Jets.
Here we go, Pimpin'. Chicago Bears getting ready to play the Buffalo Bills.
I'm going to have to go with Chicago.
Downtown. Yeah.
Ain't no doubt about it. Number 10, he balling.
There we go, baby.
And
the Tampa Bay
might be back, so that's going to be it. Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is a good one, Pim. Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, this ain't going to be no good one. Panthers, baby.
I'm just trying
to tell you. Yeah, because they had to bench Jameson.
Okay.
Balling. Panthers.
Panthers. All right, here we go. Keeping it moving. We got the Chargers. The Chargers against the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, man, that's going to be rough, man. Seattle.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. Woo, woo, nothing.
Ooh, write that down, Junior.
He's going to write it down.
I got all of them.
Okay, moving on. The Texans.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Legion of Doom is back, pimp. They back balling. They don't been here. Russell Wilson got some time to throw it to. Yeah, they're going to go and whoop the Chargers.
All right, cool. The Texans are on their way to Denver to play the Broncos.
I'm going to go with y'all's team. I'm going to go with Houston on this
yes,
one.
Yes, sir.
Man. I ain't got nothing in Denver for no love. I like Von Miller, but that's it.
All right. Now, here go a big one right here, Pimpin'.
Then I'm finna pick it.
The Rams are Los on their way
Rams,
to
Los Angeles Rams.
Undefeated. They it. On their way to play the Saints, the New Orleans
Los Angeles
Saints.
Los Angeles Rams.
All you got to say is
tell
Los
you
Angeles
no
Rams.
Damn more.
Against it. The Saints?
Okay. Los, and how many times I get, is he can't hear me?
Okay. I heard you on that. Here go another one. The Green Bay Packers on their way to play the Patriots.
Man, please.
Come on.
Lord.
We all pleasing.
Please.
We all pleasing.
Beat their ass. Please.
All right.
Even though I know they ain't. Packers.
We know what you want, though, Pippen. We know what you want.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
All right. Here we go. The Titans, Monday Night Football against the Cowboys.
Oh, this is a bad game right here. I don't care about neither one of these things. But I
pick
tell
one,
you
Pimpin.
What, though.
You got to pick one of them, though, Pimp.
I'm going to have to pick, and I don't want the Cowboys to win because I never cared for them. And I want to pick the Titans, but they got Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott going to be cool. They ain't got around. I don't want them to win. I'm going with the Titans.
The Titans!
Thank you.
He did. Hey, be nervous.
All right, well,
but
thank
Cleveland,
you, Pimpin.
Though.
Thank you,
Cleveland.
Pimpin.
Never mind. I ain't going to do that to him.
Yeah. It's going to be hurtful this week. Don't do this to me, Tommy.
I was trying to say thank you. We appreciate you, Pimpin,
no, thank
as
you,
always.
Shirley. I love you, baby. I'll talk to you, all right? This is what it sounds like when pimps cry. I talk to Junior.
All right, Pimpin. We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Oprah Winfrey was in Georgia yesterday. She was campaigning for Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. Take a listen as Oprah talked about why she votes. Take a listen.
I'm here today because, like a lot of young people, I didn't take voting seriously until around my mid-20s. And around my mid-20s, I had the privilege of hearing Reverend Otis Moss Jr., who's a preacher. Y'all know him? Preacher. Preacher in Cleveland, Ohio. And I heard him tell the story of his father, of Otis Moss Sr., who right here in Georgia's Troop County got up in the morning and put on his only suit and his best tie. And he walked 6 miles to the voting poll location he was told to go to in LaGrange. And when he got there, after walking 6 miles in his good suit and tie, they said, boy, you at the wrong place. You're at the wrong place. You need to go over to Mountville. So he walked another 6 miles to Mountville. And when he got there, they said, boy, you at the wrong place. You need to go to the Rosemont School. And I picture him walking from dawn to dusk in his suit, his feet tired, getting to the Rosemont School, and they say, boy, you too late. The polls are closed. And he never had a chance to vote. By the time the next election came around, he had died. So when I go to the polls and I cast my ballot, I cast it for a man I never knew. I cast it for Otis Moss Sr., who walked 18 miles one day just for the chance to vote. And when I go into the polls, I cast the vote for my grandmother, Hattie Mae Lee, who died in 1963 before the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and never had a chance to vote. I vote for her. And when I stand in the polls, I do what Maya Angelou says. I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. For all those who paved the way that we might have the right to vote. And for anybody here who has an ancestor who didn't have the right to vote, and you are choosing not to vote wherever you are in this state, in this country, you are dishonoring your family. You are disrespecting and disregarding their legacy, their suffering, and their dreams when you don't vote. So honor your legacy. Honor your legacy. Honor your right to citizenship in this, which is the greatest country in the world. The greatest country in the world. And the right to vote is like the crown we all get to wear. Maya used to say, baby, your crown has been paid for, so put it on your head and wear it.
Come on, Oprah.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, I think this
was
really
beautiful.
If you don't understand that and you don't get that, mm-hmm. then something's wrong with you.
All right, coming up, last break of the day on this Friday. It's been a good day. It's been a good week. We'll be back with Steve and his closing remarks right after this at 49 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we are, Steve. Last break of the day for this beautiful Friday. Take us into the weekend with some lovely, inspiring closing remarks. Let's go.
All right. I chose this one today because I think it's important for people to understand this. You know, comparing yourself to other people's success is very dangerous because it puts you in a position of never really paying close enough attention to where you are. It's not, you should not rate your success on the success of other people. I'll tell you why. Let me give you a saying that's in a proverb. I'm paraphrasing a proverb. Success isn't how far you got, but the distance you traveled from where you started. Listen to me. Success isn't how far you got, but the distance you travel from where you started. See, some people don't know how to measure their success. If you keep putting it up against somebody else maybe have been doing it longer than you. Somebody else may have another gift or talent than you. If you're always comparing yourself to somebody else, you're going to come up short. And you'll never really realize that you, too, have your own level of success. And you should relish in that. You should be proud in that. You should show gratitude in that. But if you always looking at what somebody else is doing, you ain't gonna ever be happy with yourself. And that's a miserable position to put yourself in. Success is not how far you got, but the distance you travel from where you started. You've heard old people say in church, I ain't where I wanna be, but I thank the Lord I ain't where I was. See, you gotta look at it like that. You gotta constantly take inventory of your life that way. That's why I say all the time, listen to me. Life is not a game. It's a contest. See, if you look at life as a game, if I looked at life as a game and I look at Oprah Winfrey or Tyler Perry and I look at how much money they make, then it's a game and I consider them winning. If I consider Oprah winning or Tyler winning, then guess what? I must be losing. I must be losing because I'm not where they are. So if life were a game, games have winners and losers. You can't look at life like that. That life ain't filled with winners and losers. If I look at where I started and I look at where I've gotten to, I win. That's why I say life ain't a game. Life is a contest. See, a contest is different. You ever been to the fair? Everybody can get a blue ribbon at the fair. You just got to get in your right category. Somebody get the blue ribbon for biggest squash. Somebody get the blue ribbon for best syrup. Somebody get the best canned corn. Somebody get a blue ribbon with the best sheep. Somebody get a blue ribbon with the fattest hog. Somebody get a blue ribbon for making the best apples. So just get in your lane and get your blue ribbon. Quit tripping because you ain't winning against somebody else. Life ain't a game. It's a contest. Everybody can get their own blue ribbon. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else. If I keep looking at Oprah Winfrey, man, I might be sad for a long time. Man, I mean, so if I look at my life from where I started from stuttering, from flunking out of school, from losing everything I've owned twice, from being homeless, and where I'm at now, I'm a success. If you look at your life, let's just look at your life, where you started from. Say you got a supervisory position down at the post office. You a success. What about when you wasn't working at all and now you drive a truck? But remember when you didn't have no job? Remember when you know your brother and sister? You working. You a success. You a success, man. Because life ain't a game. It's a contest. The only person you in it with is yourself. You ain't in it with Oprah and Tyler. They in a whole nother lane. They in another category. Get in your category. Get your blue ribbon at what you can get a blue ribbon in. Life is not a game. It's a contest. You can blue ribbon in any category. You can come up with the sweetest sugar. You can come up with the best haircut. You can come up with the best mowed lawn. You can come up with the prettiest tractor. You can go down there with the biggest pumpkin. Just go get your blue ribbon in life, man. Stop competing against other people. Success ain't how far you got. It's the distance you travel from where you started. Those are my closing remarks today.
Ooh, drop the mic, baby. Drop my it.
Yeah. Hold on.
Out of here.
I got to get dropped myself.
You dropped the mic.
That's it. Dropped
the mic.
It's really silverware.
I know
y'all heard that.
Yeah. At least you didn't say keep it pimping. So yeah.
I started to.
So Steve, how do you come up with these?
I just think of my life. Mm-hmm. All the lessons I've learned. I've learned all these lessons. I got 61 years of grinding and hustling. And in my 61 years of grinding and hustling, I've recorded lessons in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I just think, man, that if I share them with people, mm-hmm. like I'm trying to come out with this app where I can share it with people, where people can take these, and I'm going to give it a real catchy name. But
how about Peep This? You like that one?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Let me drop this on you? You don't like that one?
No, I don't.
Let me holler at you?
See,
how
why?
About listen up?
Hey, how about this one right here? How about have yourself a great weekend?
Yeah. Yes.
Peace.
I like that. For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit SteveHarveyFM.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.